In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Dear saints, if there was ever one sentence in the entire scriptures that describes your Jesus, that describes your King, that describes your God, it could be this one. This is as close as you can get to describe who your God is. You, dear saints, have a God who comes. Every other religion is about us ascending to God. Christianity is about your God descending to be with you. You have a God who came, humble, born in a stable, born like you and I in every likeness, with the exception of sin. And he came to die. And there is nothing more humbling than death. You have a God who comes to you with his word today. You have a God who comes to you with his body and with his blood for you to eat and drink here in this congregation. And you have a God who will come to you in glory to judge the living and the dead. You cannot ascend to him. And we don't even want to before he comes to us. We miserably fail in our prayer life, which is us ascending to God. So he comes to us with his word to pick us up and bring us to him. We cannot ascend to him in our sin. So he comes right in your midst today to take that sin and forgive it and to announce it. Behold, your King is coming to you. He came as a child to die as a man. He's a God King who unlike other kings who send poor soldiers into the war to fight the battle, he came as the king to die in battle, sacrificing himself so that he could come to you. Today, dear saints, is your new year in the church. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. You have a God who comes. And you're going to learn some Latin here. Guess what Advent means? To come. When he was riding into Jerusalem to die for us, to die for the crowd that was shouting, they were all shouting, "Hosanna." And what that means is they were shouting, "Save us, Lord." And he was riding on his donkey to do just that. But the question that I want to ask you today, the question I want you to ponder for the rest of this week, for the rest of Advent, is this. Do we actually mean that? Did the crowd actually mean that? Do we actually know what we're saying when we say those words, "O Lord, save us"? When I was a child, my dad was a volunteer fireman. All the cool kids, when they would get picked up from school, they'd get picked up in Corvettes, They get picked up in vipers. They get picked up in Mustangs and whatnot. But I would sometimes get picked up in a fire truck. I think that made me the coolest kid. One Saturday afternoon, my dad borrowed me as a young child for a fireman exercise. All I had to do, I would hide in this huge church. All I had to do was pick a room and hide there. While a couple of firemen donned on their masks, they donned on their helmets, they donned on their goggles, their fireman gear, and the backs, and they came to find me. It was an exercise to find a child in a burning building. And I thought this would be fun. So I went, and I hid. And then the fireman came in the room with his goggles and his mask and his helmet and his gear, and he was frightening. I did not want saved by him. I thought he meant me more harm than good. I kicked and I screamed as he carried me out of the building, just as a child would kick and scream as he's being carried out of a burning building by a frightening looking scene. The fireman is there to save you as a child, and you don't want saved. Not by that guy. Dear saints, our Lord comes, and he comes to rescue us. But do we actually want rescued? How often is it that we actually think our Lord means more harm than good? Our Lord comes not to just save us from our general sinful condition. Our Lord comes not just to save us from the sins that have been committed by others against us. He comes to save us from our sin, from your sin, your very particular sin. Our Lord does not work in the abstract only. He works in the concrete. Your sin, you know it. Do you actually want saving from such? Would we not rather live a life of selfishness rather than a life of selflessness? Do we not rather love sinning sometimes? Do we not gain pleasure in gossiping and lusting and choosing to satisfy our felt needs? Is it not easier to speak ill of others and talk about their backs than to speak well of them and put the best construction on it? Does it not save money to live together without marriage? Does it not make sense to get some milk before you buy the cow? Is it not sometimes fun to be angry? Save us, O Lord, they cry. Do we mean it? When you confess your sins, do you mean it? Your very particular sins, your sins of your mouth, of your body, of every part of you, really. Do we want saved? Do we want to notice our sins? Do we want to notice the sin of others? Or is it not much easier to bury our head in the sand and not pretend like we're in a burning building and our Lord comes to rescue us from that when he tells us to repent? Him coming to you, him coming to rescue you and me, it is not dependent upon whether we actually want it. It is not dependent on if we're actually sorry for this. It is not dependent on whether we actually feel like we need it or not. Our Lord riding on to die for us. Our Lord coming to us now with his forgiveness. It is not dependent on anything for you. It is dependent upon his love for the Father's will to have you rescued from the burning building. And that is a will that will not change. The will for us to want it. The will for us to want to be sorry. To want to repent. To want to receive his coming. That is a will that is in constant change. But the will of the Father and his love for you does not change. And is not dependent upon you. He comes to you to forgive you and to renew you, whether you want it or not. The Father wants you. He wants you rescued. And so he sent his Son to come. To come to die. To come now. And to come again. To judge the living and the dead, and to rescue you. You do not go to him. He comes to you. You know, he is the God of anything and of everything. And our gospel reading, it has Jesus saying these crazy words. He says to his disciples, "Go and grab the donkey and the colt and tell the owner the Lord needs them." He is the God of anything and of everything, and he says about those things, the Lord needs them. They are insignificant, but our Lord uses them for his good. And he does the same for you. We are insignificant, but the Lord uses us. He uses your money. He uses your body for service. He uses your mouth for the building up of others and the confession of his peace. It should be our pleasure to be used by our Lord. As insignificant in this world as we are, the Lord says of you, of your money, of your mouth, of your body, I can use that. He is not far off today. You have a Lord Jesus who comes. He has never been far off throughout all of humanity. He was not far off when he was walking in the Garden of Eden, promising a Savior from sin and shame, your shame. He was not far off when he promised to dwell with his people in the tabernacle so that they could have access to him with his grace and with his power. And that is what you have here. You have access to him, your God King. He was not far off when he suffered as men suffer, and much worse. And he is not far off today. We cannot ascend to him in our sin. We do not want to ascend to him in our shame. We stay away from him in our sadness. So he comes to us. Come quickly now. Amen. Thank you.